You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What is up, guys? Jose Youngs here with MMAfighting.com, here with another Wednesday edition of the A-Side Live Chat. Of course, I say Wednesday because we had a Monday edition this past Monday with Mackenzie Dern and Anthony Smith. Anthony Smith was phenomenal. Mackenzie Dern was phenomenal, but she had to step out early. Of course, I highly recommend you watch the entirety of our Monday episode of Anthony Smith. Very, very fascinating stuff. But as you can see, Alimelay McFarland, Bellator champ, is not here. There were some wires crossed, scheduling conflicts, information slips through the cracks, I should say. So, unfortunately, Alima is not here this week, but she promised us that she would postpone for the full hour-long conversation next week, hopefully Monday. We can get it done. I think she shared a photo of us all saying next on her social media saying she'll be back. But not her fault, just schedules were mismanaged, or I don't know how mistakes were made. Not her fault, but she is not here this week. She's not here this week, so stepping in on short notice is our director, Casey Lydon, the wimpiest soy boy in all of MMA. Yeah. Casey, where's your coffee? There you go. It's always there. But
organic.
This is not
fair trade.
This is nothing new. I've done the A side for a very long time. So for those familiar with the format of the show, you can go on to MMAfighting.com, find the post on the site, leave your question below, or you can go on Twitter, use hashtag the A side on Twitter, or just respond to us, our tweets, because that's what most of you do anyway. But of course, Casey, it has a few of your questions already teed up. So, Casey,
here's
our first question, lovely listeners.
First question, let's go with, I like this one.
I'm John Pulse. How are you guys doing? Hope you're well. So, PT, I'll start with you. So you're all the way across the pond. You, how are you doing in this epidemic that has gripped the world?
I'm doing fine. We're all still very busy, I think. But I'm getting kind of aggressive with people who are getting too close to me when I'm walking at night time. I don't know if it's a problem with me. I don't think it is, because everyone's meant to be keeping 2 meters of distance. And if I'm walking towards a situation where I can't only go forward and there's two young fellas there, there's probably going to be a fight. And there nearly was last night, but thankfully, as you can see, face perfect. Moving it on with my life. I need to try and calm down a little bit, I think, but I also need everyone to just bear in mind that we shouldn't be on top of each other in this situation. Give people lots of space, or else, you know, people with rage issues are going to have rage issues, and you don't want that.
You don't
want
to get...
Pete Carroll, having rage issues, almost fighting someone, that doesn't sound like the Pete Carroll I know.
No, not at all. Not at all. This virus is changing us all in many ways, Jose. That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, look at this. I no longer have the best hair on the A side. I think that belongs to you this week, Petey.
No, it doesn't. Casey's wearing a hat. He still has better hair than me, man.
Well, so Casey, how are you doing on this epidemic? You've been tweeting and IGing and sharing a sneak into your quarantine life as the wimpiest member of the MMA media. So, how are you, sir?
It's going okay so far. I think we're like. We're not even 2 weeks into what I think this is going to be a minimum 6 month process. So, it's just going, went to the, I've had the same issues. You know, I go to the park and go running, you know, push ups, all that kind of crap, you know, and, it's just weird because like there was a family playing like basketball. So it was a family. So they can, I guess, get within distance and shot an air ball. The ball rolled toward me. And instinctually, you know, you want to pick up the ball and like, oh, toss it back. But then I was like, oh, I can't touch your basketball. It was just like, damn it.
Right.
It just felt weird. So it just kind of rolled up on me. I just kind of looked at it. And but they knew it was up. You know, they weren't like, jerk. You know, so it's just these kind of new realities were starting to become normal, I guess. It sucks too when I see dogs too. You kind of want to pet the dog. Once you pet the dog, that means you're within the distance of the owner. Then it's just weird. And so even like when I'm walking with our dogs and we see other dogs, both of the people, the humans, are kind of like, we kind of both know, all right, let's just, you know, keep the dogs apart so they don't get tangled up in their leashes and stuff. And It's stupid and it's a bummer. But I don't want to catch I don't want to catch that cancer. I don't want to walk around and someone cop. I don't want to catch cancer. You know?
Can catch cancer through physical contact.
Can't hide from that cancer. So
worse than that viral cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah, like my local comic book store closed down forever because of this virus. Ugh. And it was the longest running comic book store in Phoenix. It had been open for about 40 years. And a lot of people came and they were only allowing 5 people in at a time. So there was a line to get in. And then when one person would leave, they let one other person go in there. So you'd have to stand outside for a long time because people were browsing. But a lot of people that had been going to this comic book store for over the last 40 years were trying to take photos with the owners because they're also like two like very older senior citizens, and they were like the owners were kind of like they didn't want to take photos with anyone because they would have to get close. So they would like touch elbows and or like fist bump and stuff like that and take photos. So it was a weird scene, but businesses are closing and it's a bummer all around. So to answer your question, John, we're doing okay, but not everyone is doing okay, yeah. Right? Yeah. So, but anyway, Casey, we don't want to be that much of a downer. What's our next question from our loyal listeners?
All right, that's here. I think there's some interest about this question.
From Sam Illich on Twitter. With Habib going back to Russia, does that mean it is even less likely to happen? And only option is fighting Russia or Middle East, a better time for us in Europe. So, Pizzi, I'll start with you. News came out that Habib Nurmagomedov, UFC lightweight champion, moved back to Russia or went back to Russia to finish up his training camp. What do you make of this scenario? I'm sure Casey has some thoughts on the matter, considering he's also in California where Habib was doing his camp. But as this man said, probably better for you guys if it happens over in Europe or the Middle East, but what do you make of the situation at hand?
Yeah, I don't expect this to happen in the Middle East or Europe at all, because, you know, the only reason to put this on if you're the UFC is for pay-per-view money, and, you know, you want that at optimum times in the US if you're going to capitalize and make the most amount of money you can. So I don't think that's the possibility. I think it's just human side of Habib probably wants to be at home with his family while this kind of stuff is going on. I think this thing is rightfully scaring a lot of people, and you know, people can't really see anyone outside of their family. So that's what I thought when I saw it. He's just going home to be with his family and, you know, do everything from there rather than being in the US. That's what I took from it, but I don't think it's an indicator as to where it will happen or anything like that. Obviously Steve Morocco's reported that there's a place, I believe it's in Florida, you could correct me there, I'm not too sure, that has been allegedly booked. So no, I don't think it says that it's going to happen in Europe or the Middle East. I just think he wants to be with his family.
Oh, you're muted.
Sorry. I'm muted. Yeah. I muted myself. Oh, we get feedback. But Casey, your thoughts? I know you've had a lot of comments on use to President Dana White and the comments he made yesterday, but as one of his most popular champions, Habib Nurmagomedov, lightweight champion, moves back to Russia, is that a sign of that he's taking this seriously, or is he actually finishing his camp up there, or do you think it is a sign that the UFC might hold an event overseas?
I think it is a sign they're going to hold overseas, but as far as Habib going to Russia, I really think that was just a practical thing, because between here and say when April 18th, so no matter where it's at, you would think Habib would have to get there at least a week before. And if it's overseas, so that's going to be around April 10th or something like that, he has to fly out to wherever it's going to be. I believe by that point, every country in the world will actually ban anyone coming from the U.S. to enter their country. I think all the borders are going to be closed internationally, stopping people from the U.S. and probably a lot of European nations too, because the outbreak will be so bad. And by that time in April, we really should be hitting the pretty much the worst weeks of what we expect. Right now, this is just foreplay. What's going on in the United States right now? It's nothing. So in about 2-3 weeks, it's going to get really bad, and most likely most countries will be closing off borders. So if Habib was in the United States, he literally couldn't fly anywhere because no country would let any people from America, even because they just had, because the way the situation is. So I just think I think everything sucks right now. But Khabib going back to Russia is because I think it's big. Yeah, like I think Pete said, it's more for his family and his personal life, because he could be stuck in the States for a while if he doesn't go now.
Yeah, I know Dan, like PC did touch upon it, that Dana White or Steven had wrote in this article about a possible event in Florida, because apparently there was an MMA event down there. But if you're going to pick one state to hold an event during a pandemic, what would you assume it would be? It'd probably be Florida. I know your documentary you guys were talking about before, like Tiger
King.
That happened. That takes place in Florida too, right? So
parts in Florida, yeah.
Yeah, so if an MMA event is going to happen during a pandemic, it's probably going to be in Florida. I selfishly, I want the fight to happen, but I don't want the fight to happen given the circumstances around the world. But I'm also on record many a time on this. I know Pete's on. Everyone blames me for this fight not happening. Blame the coronavirus, not me. Because I've said for months that this fight is not going to happen on the allotted schedule because it's cursed, ladies and gentlemen. But I don't think it's going to happen in Dubai. I don't think it's going to happen in Russia. If it happens, it'll probably happen in Florida. But I, again, don't want it to happen under this circumstances. But
I don't want it to happen. But if it does happen, I hope it is overseas and not in Florida. That would be just a horrible. That's a horrible plan, because if they do it in Florida, that means they will be taking medical. They would need doctors, paramedics at the event, just for basic safety needs, and that means you're taking away resources and energy from the healthcare crisis that will be going on at that time. And I just think that's incredibly selfish for anyone to do. I work in MMA. Of course, I want to see the fight. I want to see that fight forever. I think Khabib's on his way to becoming the best lightweight ever. But there's a reality, and we can't escape that first. Our priority is the pandemic and getting the disease out of everyone, and throwing on an MMA event that you're going to need. Think about it. What if a guy breaks his leg? What if a guy gets seriously cut and needs stitches or breaks his orbital? He's going to have to go to the emergency room. The emergency room is going to be just overflowed just with horribleness, and I just don't understand how any safety concerns will even be met for a fight at that time. So
stop being a wimp, Casey. Come
I know,
man.
I know, I'm so wimpy. Me,
you don't want, what are they, they're gonna catch cancer rolling around on the floor together, right?
That's how you catch it, man.
Well, anyway, I'm sure we're going to have a lot more thoughts on the matter the closer we get to these still planned UFC 249. I mean, we had Anthony Smith and Mackenzie Dern on last week, and their fight's still scheduled for UFC Lincoln. So who knows what's happening in the world, both of them. Mackenzie Dern said she was still preparing in case they move it to another part of the world, and Anthony Smith is like, hey, no one's told me I don't have a fight, so I'm going to keep fighting. But Francis Ngannou, he might fight at UFC 249 now. So I think Daniel Cormier said this on Ariel's show, where after this, the pandemic kind of, whenever that is, whenever we, like Casey said, 6 months, we're going to have a lot of really stacked UFC cards, considering all the fights that fell out. Like, we could have all these fights that, these main events, all on the same card. Like, Tyron Woodley, Leon Edwards, Francis Ngannou, Jairzinho, Rozenstruik, Khabib, Tony. Like, these are all going to have to be smushed together in a 4 month span if we want to get everything out of the, like, it fit everything in this year. So who knows what'll happen. But Casey, if you have any more questions, I don't want to waste a whole lot of time, use a lot of time on 249.
No problem. Let me find another question. One moment.
Peep.
Here we go.
From the Seaside at the C_side. Thoughts on the recent trash talk between Colby and Ioana. So, PT, I'll start with you. You had Ioana and Colby Covington on Eurobash. You've talked to Ioana many a time. You actually wrote up an article on Ioana's response to Colby Covington. What do you make of the inner turmoil at ATT between former champion Ioana Andjejic and former interim champion Colby Covington?
I feel like he's, he's nearly become a parody of himself. And Noel spoke to him this week, and it was actually before this ATT ban kicked in, where they were told they can't trash talk each other and stuff like that. But, it feels like something in this sport that we celebrate often is the fact that, you know, we put a spotlight in female athletes, and, you know, they have main events as opposed to some other sports that doesn't happen in. They aren't given the full spotlight. And then really to talk about, you know, I didn't want to go on a date with Joanna, and that's why she's annoyed. And then suggesting other things. I think it's a bit medieval at this stage. I guess, you know, that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to rub people up the wrong way. But I think, you know, let's not talk about one of the greatest female fighters of all time about that, like, who is also a teammate of yours. I guess that's the way I was feeling about it. And even, like, when I asked Joanna, I felt like she was actually really sad about it, you know? One of the things she said was, it's a real shame for all of us that he talks like this, you know? And that particular thing with Joanna, that's how I felt about that. I understand he's trying to sell a fight with Jorge Masvidal. And look, I don't care about guys slagging each other. I don't care about people insulting each other. But I think when you're going down that line of things about, you know, dates and being like, you know, I wasn't attracted to her advances, etc. I don't think that's a good thing. I think most of you guys would agree with me, because I'm a soy boy as well at heart, you know.
Casey, what are your thoughts on the you still train. You have teammates, you have gym teammates. What do you think of this beef between this is beef between teammates, but this ATT is one of, if not the premier gyms in the world, and they have two of their most high profile fighters in Joanna, who's one of the most popular fighters across the globe, and then Colby Covington, who has really, like, hate him or love him, he has really captivated the MMA audience. Like, when he fought Kamaru Usman, he was the main event. People want to see what he says, whether they hate him or love him. So what do you make of two massively high profile fighters having this beef? And they're not fighting anytime soon, by the way. Like, they're two, like, let alone they're male and female, they're two different weight classes and all that.
Honestly, I just think it's kind of dumb. I just think it's dumb. I think PC kind of said everything that needs to be said. It's just dumb. That's about it. And mostly on Colby's part. Yeah, that's about it. I kind of feel silly even talking about it, to be.
Sure. But, like, it's one thing to talk trash about someone in your weight class that you might actually fight down the road. It's another to talk trash on someone that you will never fight. Ever, period. So
I don't understand what's the end game on this.
Exactly, that's what I was gonna say. Like, your professional opinion of it being dumb is perfect, because, like, there's nothing, there's, like, it's not like they can fight and, like, settle in the octagon. So I don't understand any of it. It's just Colby trying to quote unquote play heel. I think
is he like eventually going to, like, I mean, is it this to present him as the outlaw of ATT? Oh, they all want me out of the gym. And then I was thinking when I was like, why would you do this? Like, what, like, I mean,
well, if that's the end game, or if that's his goal, like, he went on Submission Radio or something and apologized for talking trash about Dustin Poirier. So, like, do you want to be the bad guy, or do you want to be the one that's apologizing to your teammates for talking trash? Like, I don't get anything he's doing right now.
Yeah, I don't like it, you know, the sexism thing after, you know, the things Joanna has done throughout her whole career. Like, she's a European legend. Like, she's a continental legend of the sport. And she just literally, you know, gave up her body, the physical toll that she took in that fight. And then we're gonna lower it back to, you know, she's flirting with me and I didn't like it. I mean, come on. It's not what we want to be doing in this sport.
Yeah. I like how what Kay said. It's dumb, but we're not going to talk about this anymore. What do we have next from our listeners?
All right, hold on one moment.
Queuing up questions. Best from SJY on the site. Best home workout videos. What fighter Instagram should I follow for the best home workout? Right before we went live, I was scrolling through Instagram and I saw Francis Ngannou do some excellent body weight. Workouts where he's, like, doing, like, lunges and crazy push-ups, and he wasn't using any equipment. So I'll say Francis Ngannou, because I haven't really been paying attention to fighter workouts per se. But Casey, I'll start with you as the one who actually does train, and who I've seen when we were in Houston, PT, Esther and I went to an art museum to kill time before fight night, and Casey just went on a jog shadow boxing the whole time. So I'll ask you first, Casey, about best home workout videos and stuff for quarantine time.
You know, I actually need suggestions, to be honest, because I have like, I've already made like on Instagram, I've made like a little, you have your little collections and you group them. So I have my pandemic home workouts. So I've been like, just, I haven't really gone through them all, but I've been kind of watching, I followed a few jiu-jitsu accounts and like, oh, these are some drills you can do by yourself or certain things like that. So I've honestly, I've been just downloading a bunch of like fitness apps and going, okay, what can I do with just with body weights and like just one kettlebell? So I need suggestions, to be honest. PT, what do you got?
Yeah, PT,
I don't know if it's exactly training stuff, but there's a good blog just released by all the Irish jiu-jitsu black belts. They're doing like podcasts where they go through different techniques and stuff. And I'm talking like Paul Fox and Roger Dardis from the Royal Grappling Academy, where I used to train. They're both legends. Both Marcelo Garcia black belts, Andy Ryan from Team Ryan, an Irish MMA legend, who's basically the daddy of it all. He's a judo black belt and a jiu-jitsu black belt. And then Barry Oglesby, another jiu-jitsu black belt. They've just started a podcast where they're hanging out after an open mat and they're going through techniques and stuff. Like, I feel like if you are training jiu-jitsu, I found when I trained, just to be talking about technique and watching people break down technique, it can really help you, because obviously nobody's getting onto the mats now and actually practically doing the techniques. But to watch them and just keep your mind familiar with being taught and watching how people do things, it does work on a micro level. Obviously not as well as drilling and doing, you know, rep after rep of the same technique. I think even watching stuff like that for jiu-jitsu guys is good. But other than that, I've just been turning off the workout videos because they make me ashamed of my fat body.
Yeah, but no one's as flexible as you, PT, so you have that going for you.
Oh,
you
yeah, but that's the problem.
Oh, I do want to point out, I forgot. I know Cyborg has been releasing some YouTube videos called Quarantine Workouts and things like that. So at least she's giving it the effort right now. I haven't actually watched them yet. I saw like 10 seconds and it look decent, you know, just something to do, like a lot of throwing teeps and like, you know, just a lot of Muay Thai workouts you can do on your own. But that's really cool that Cyborg's doing that and just staying out there. And apparently she sent an image out. She says Monday through Friday until April 1st, live at 10 a.m. So maybe it's on right now, actually. So
Don't leave.
Yeah, I mean, it's not on right now. It's horrible. Don't go.
All I do, I have weights at home, so all I do is lift weights. Because as I used to work at a company, and they have this Muppet that would talk about professional wrestling, and his quote was, "You can sulk about it, or you can bulk about it." And I've never forgotten that quote my entire life. He actually, Mark Henry, the professional wrestler, had a shirt come out on Pro Wrestling Tees that said, "You can sulk about it or bulk about it." So I've been saying that a lot to people this week, where people are like, "I'm so tired at home." I'm like, "Just start lifting weights, guys." So yeah, lift weights, sulk about it or bulk about it.
There's always shit. There's always loads of stuff that, like, you know, that needs to be done in your house that you usually can't get to do because of you're working so much and stuff. So even doing them things is working out, keeping your body moving. Just get your body moving, go out for a walk, do whatever. Listen to these fantastic podcasts, plug them into your face and go for a walk. What else could you want?
Well, I see you. Is that you got mats back there, right, Casey? I don't think they were there the last time I was over.
Yeah, yeah.
At the Lynn Lydon abode.
Yeah, we got these Dolomar kind of tatami mats. So I cleared this space out because we actually behind that wall we have a garage and actually have a full on dojo. But it's so cold; it just gets kind of annoying in there because it's so. Now we have a nice room with a fireplace, and so. Basically, I do yoga every day now. So I start off every morning at 7 doing an hour of yoga, and then I do an evening workout. So so now I'm just inside. So yeah, so usually at night, then before I go to sleep, usually I listen to an audio book and do about 30 minutes of stretching and stuff. So that's kind of my routine a little bit right now.
Where do you go, man?
I need to get a routine going. Apart from walking around and threatening people I don't know, I'm not really doing anything else.
That's a great routine, man. Just stick to it. Don't give up. Don't know half measures. Just
sulk about it or balk about it, PC. Yeah. Just play that again.
And when they come, when they come at you, just lie on your back and just say, "Enter my guard and meet your doom." You know, just.
Yeah. Alex K. Lee wants to say from our last question about the Kobe Ioana thing. It says, "Someone tell our commenters mentioning Ioana's past comments that two wrongs don't make a right."
Come on, Alex.
So Alex K. Lee, the bad boy, putting on his good boy hat for a few for a few seconds to call out our commenters. But no one wants to hear us talk about lifting weights. So Casey, what do we got for our next question?
Hold on. Oh, okay. This one's gonna be. You're gonna get a good laugh from this one.
Oh no.
UFC 249 discount with COVID-19 pandemic affecting countless people across the world with many unable to work. Do you think that the UFC might discount the cost of the upcoming pay-per-view? That's from Grin N, another longtime commenter. The answer is no. If the UFC isn't going to pay their fighters from UFC London that actually made the trip all the way to London, they're not going to discount a pay-per-view of the biggest card of the year. If anything,
the only reason they're doing it.
Anything,
the only reason they're doing it.
The most anticipated fight ever.
If anything, and I'll say this, if the UFC, I would be more surprised of the UFC discounting the pay-per-view than the UFC increasing the price to take advantage of people wanting this card. So if the UFC raised the price $10, I would be like, yeah, that's just the UFC. But if they discounted it $10, I'd be like, the world is truly ending because of this pandemic.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I knew we'd get a good laugh reading that question. Sorry.
He immediately put his hands in his face. He's like, "What is Grin and saying?" So, anything you guys want to say on this dream scenario of the UFC putting Khabib Nurmagomedov and Tony Ferguson on discount?
What happened to this being the biggest fight of all time? That's pretty much got, like, you know, shot on now, right? Like, do you what I was thinking during this is obviously not going to discount it because so many people want to watch it. But remember when we were in Vegas for McGregor and Cerrone, and he was like, "Don't even, this is the biggest fight of all time. It's going to be bigger than Mayweather Connor." Does this make it bigger or does it make it smaller? What way does this do it?
Honestly, I've said this on one of our last shows, and I said this with Alex Savas when we did our reaction video to the 249 press conference. Like, if they had fought, like, you guys just put the timeline out, Casey and Esther, and I watched the whole thing. And the first time they were supposed to fight on that, it was like the was it a Fox card or an Ultimate Fighter?
No, it was part of International Fight Week at UFC.
Yeah,
it was like one of those three fight card weekends, and it was like the. There were maybe supposed to be the co-main event or something for a tough finale.
And then it was Barbosa and Tony Ferguson. Yeah, I think it was supposed to be the co-main event of Mendez and Edgar.
Yes, I think. I'm pretty sure it's that one.
That sounds about because it was at the Cosmo.
Yeah.
So that if that fight had happened there in a 3-round co-main event of a tough finale. It would have been a great fight, and all of us that knew those two would have been really excited. But then it was supposed to be on the Fox card, I think, down in Orlando. I think that, and it was supposed to be like Machida and Dan Henderson, and then that fell. I don't know. There's a lot of fights that happened in that span of time, and then he fought. Tony Ferguson fell out this time, and then I can't remember them.
Daryl Horcher filled in. That was the second one.
Daryl Horcher, and then the third one was
Khabib not making weight.
209. That was supposed to be the main event, and then 223, which was the Dolly incident.
No. Tony was out because he tripped on the cable.
I was just saying the Dolly incident to give like a timestamp for our listeners who don't remember like certain fight cards. So like, all of those things happening made this fight a big, because now it's not for an interim title. It's not just a co-main event. It was for the undisputed champion at 155 pounds. Since those two, like Tony Ferguson's being Anthony Pettis and Tony Ferguson and RDA, Khabib's being Conor, Dustin Poirier, Barbosa, like those two have like essentially cleaned out the entire division between the two, and now they're going to fight. That now it's the biggest deal it could have been. If it's postponed again, it's going to be even bigger. But I was talking to our old co-worker Sean Alshadi during the last Vegas card. And if Tony Ferguson wins, I think he'd be the oldest lightweight champion in UFC history, which is crazy to me. So, like, time is ticking on this fight. So, but again, it's not going to be discounted. To go back to the original question.
That was a fun trip down memory lane, though, wasn't it?
Discounted.
It just shows you how cursed this fight is. Like, there's no other fight that's been booked more than twice, right? That, to my knowledge. Like, no big marquee name that's been booked a few times.
Definitely not marquee names. Maybe some, I don't know. Yeah, some weird fights that we never even kind of, didn't even really become public. But, like, but yeah, as far as, like, marquee A-level fighters, oh, this is by far. But I just wish they would cancel the damn card. Because think about the story. Like, okay, when April 18th rolls around, we will be so deep into this pandemic. It is going to be just incredibly... We're going to be a very depressed, scarred nation. I don't... Mm-hmm. People need to just come to terms with that. In 3 weeks, we will be different people in 3 weeks. Psychologically, we will be. Regardless if we actually catch the virus or not, or somewhere close to us, like, we will be a scarred country. We'll be a scarred world, too. I think this goes for Dublin and the UK.
And, I agree with you, yeah.
Especially by the time April 18th rolls around. And... I know Dana tries to say the whole thing, you know, oh, we had a card, you know, a couple weeks after 9/11, and people were happy, and like it was like, yeah, we brought fights back. It was a distraction. This isn't 249 won't be a distraction because we'll be in it. Like, it's not like if the card was in, say, late August,
like October.
Or October or something like that, where we know what we hope. That the worst is by us. Now we're just kind of in the recovery period. Then something like this could be fun and it could be exciting and a distraction. But I think just the timing is just horrible. And then if they do it like in October or whatever, and it's like the first official pay-per-view after the pandemic, that's a celebration. You know, it's like, okay, now we're back to normal. The world's getting back. But throwing this fight on. What, it's gonna be a one fight card, a two fight card. Who the hell knows? So, they're not discounting it. They're not discounting it. That's what I'm gonna say.
Well, go ahead, PC.
Do you see it? The more Dana talks, the more I think. I believe it was Mike Chiappetta on our side very early on when Dana started writing about speaking about the coronavirus. He was like. You know, this has become an ego thing for Dana. Like, he's not listening to us saying, you can't put this, like, this event can't go ahead in because of the social ramifications, because of the chances of spreading the virus. If you put this on, that's what you're doing. He's seeing as media members saying, you can't do this, Dana. You know, he's seeing as like an ego thing, a challenge to his ego. Do you see it that way as well? I thought Chiappetta did a great article about that.
It's 100% an ego thing, I think. Like, we've said this a million times. Like, when something that a lot of people kind of come to a consensus is not a good idea, and we tell Dana White that, he's going to just want to do it even more. Like, I remember with the whole Greg Hardy fighting in the UFC in his debut on ESPN on the same card as Rachel Ostovich, a lot of people kept asking about that, and it just made him, like, put his feet in the mud and not want to budge on that specific topic. So, no, I'm not – like, there's 100% – like, if people are saying, Dana, don't do this, he's going to want to do it even more.
And he keeps talking about, the experts on coronavirus, all this stuff. Like, does he realize how – far off the mark he is? Like, he sounds like, you know, I've just made me dad listen to an Aphex Twin album and ask him what genre of music it is. You know what I mean? He doesn't have a breeze what's going on either.
Right. And to speak on like you said, Casey, after like he had that fight card after September 11th in Las Vegas, he also says that's the worst fight card in the history of the UFC because that was Tito Ortiz match Shanko that had that, like, that's the one, I think it was the first ever card that was held under the unified rules with the Nevada State Athletic Commission. Had three title fights. Every single one went to a decision, and then it even went past the time, so, like, fans didn't even get to see the ending. So that's why he's like, we don't do the national anthem anymore because that fight card, we did it, and then everything fell apart. So, yes, he'll be like, oh, we held an event after September 11th, but then, like, on another interview, he'll be like, that was the worst event I've ever held in my entire life. So I don't know. I'm not surprised the fight's canceled. I'll tell you that much. But what's our next question, Casey?
But so the answer is no, they're not going to discount it. That was the question.
AK Lee, Alexander K. Lee, our resident fact checker, said to give you guys a little trivia. Two names that I bet haven't popped in your head in quite a while, Casey and PT. Jorge Rivera and Alessio Carr were booked by the UFC 3 times. Never happened.
Paddy Pimble beat Donovan Desmond 3 times also.
There you go. Rivera broke his arm, Sakara illness, and then Sakara tore his ACL. So 29-28 Rivera, because Sakara pulled out twice.
That was only booked 3 times.
Yeah.
We're talking 5. This is booked 5 times. 5 times they haven't fought.
Well, now we can say Habib and Tony Ferguson is now surpassed Sakara and Rivera as the most anticipated fight in UFC history.
All right, let's move on.
Esther's telling gets the next one.
Yeah.
Fair.
Someone keep us in check.
All right, this one's for our man Petey.
Oh, no.
My goodness. From longtime commenter Trumbo, European MMA scene and Connor's plea for Ireland. Hello, first and foremost, hope everyone is well at MMA Fighting Team. Appreciate these multiple times a week A-side live chats, and we're starting to get a bit stir-crazy in week 3 of lockdown here. Petey, how are things on the ground in Ireland? Curious as to what Irish people's reaction to Connor's Instagram plea with good government to impose a lockdown. Are the majority of Irish people taking this seriously? I personally thought it was brilliant and good on him for using his voice in such an important way. Secondly, what has been the impact on this on the smaller MMA scene in Europe? In Europe, are shows still happening? And then he had a question for Alima, but unfortunately she couldn't make it on. So we'll save that for next week. Petey, a lot of questions for you specifically. So I'll kind of summarize it. What were the people's reaction to Conor McGregor's IGTV post calling for a lockdown from the Irish government?
Yeah, it was very mixed. The sentiment in Ireland is that we all want this lockdown. Apparently, like, a lot of people online are looking for more stringent guidelines. So he echoed a lot of what people are saying already with what he said. You know, it was actually even yesterday before it was launched. The rumor was that we were going to announce half an hour later after that video was released, it was going to be announced that we would go into lockdown. We have made more stringent guidelines, but not lockdown. I guess, right, it's important, right? So at the start of the show, I was talking about how the gangs of young fellas are still walking around Dublin and thinking that they're too hard to keep their distance or too hard for any of this stuff. That's the impression I'm getting for it. So a lot of these young guys, Connor means a lot to them. So they're going to see what he's saying, keep your distance, watch your hands, and hopefully that will have an impact on them. There was some people that are saying, you know, why is this guy with such a lengthy criminal record telling us how to live our lives? You know, how is this guy gonna tell us how to do things when he hasn't got it right all the time either? Today, I think, you know, people unanimously agree. He has come out and he's said he's released a lot of messages. He was texting with one of our ministers, and within those messages, he said that he will donate $1 million. To hospitals for hospital equipment. And look, if that happens, that's brilliant. I don't think anyone criticized that. That's a great gesture for him. But yeah, it's pretty mixed reaction to that video anyway. Like, there was a lot of criticism as well as people saying this is great. But as far as the European scene, you should listen to last week's interview with Martin Lewandowski, the promoter of KSW. Mm-hmm. He outlined a lot of issues that promoters are going to have moving forward in the space and dealing with government legislation and government criteria of the how you can host an event. So I thought that was very interesting. Events aren't happening. We know on Friday, Cage Warriors 113 happened. We also have an article coming out. Mason Jones and Paddy Pimblett were on Eurobash this week, and they spoke about their experience of competing at a behind closed door event and the safety structure that was put in place for that event in particular. So you should check that out. But yeah, it's being taken very seriously in Ireland. I think that we have a good handle on it compared to some of our European neighbors. But yeah, it was a mixed reaction to Connor's thing, I guess.
Casey, what was your reaction? I know PT can speak more on the matter of being on the ground in Ireland, but what was your reaction to Conor McGregor's video post? I mean, we were talking off air a little bit before we gone, and whether you like him or not, his voice holds a lot of water in Ireland. So do you agree that it was important for someone like him to make these statements to the Irish public?
Yes. It was, regardless of his maybe intentions behind it, no PR or whatever, I don't really care, honestly. I think at this moment, it is super important for celebrities like Conor McGregor to come out and tell people to get the hell inside and stop being stupid and selfish. And I'm very pleased he did it. And you could look for issues. He's been a bad person in the past, you know, with some criminal activity, you know, some alleged criminal activity. But this right here was, we need to hear that because that's the only priority that matters right now in the world.
Yes. I can't remember who said it, but someone wrote this long article. I saw it on the front page of, I think it might have been CNN, where he was like, the headline was like, we need Kylie Jenner. And I was like, why? And I clicked on it, and it was like, we need her to post something, like stay inside to get people to listen, because fighters, not just fighters, but celebrities like that with this massive following could do more than us on the A side saying stay inside. Well, maybe not Pete Z. His words hold a lot of water.
I do. Just as much.
Just as much. But what's our next question we got?
All right, one moment. Oh, here
beep
we go.
Bop, boop, bop. People listening, beep, bop. From Cello Obsessed. Wow. Excellent Twitter handle, I will say. My aunt is a cello player. Since Dana didn't come through with any book recommendations, I'm wondering, what are some of your favorite books to read during this time? PT, I'll start with you. You now know how to read manga correctly and not in reverse order. So what are some book recommendations you have for quarantine times?
I've got a lot of books ready to go here. I like classics. If you haven't read them yet, the Trainspotting books by Irvin Welsh are amazing. The series is great. I think the first one is Trainspotting, the second one is Porno, and there's a few other ones, but brilliant series. Read them. I've got this. I haven't read this yet. This is Martin Amis' Money. I'm looking forward to reading that. It's a bit of a classic from a few decades ago, I believe. And I have Salman Rushdie, the Satanic Verses, which I failed on once. I did try to read this when I was in college, and I failed. So I'm going for that. And of course, Akira. I have the whole Akira set there that I'm going to get into as well. So that'd be my book recommendations.
Casey, what do you got for book recommendations for our listeners? You said you've been stretching audiobooks, so what do we got?
Oh yeah, I love audiobooks.
Oh, sorry, I was stepping away to get books right now, actually to grab a book. what were you asking?
I was gonna ask, like, you said you stretch and listen to audiobooks and so on and so forth. So what do we got in your book recommendations?
For audiobooks right now, I just got a subscription to audible.com, which is that the audiobooks site. So right now I'm listening to this book called Hey Esther, Against the Grain. Yeah, I think it's called Against the Grain, and it's basically about what's it about? It's kind of about it's a history book about how essentially civilization developed grain culture, like farming, and basically it enslaved us, and how we'd be a better we were actually a happier society as hunter gatherers. So, listen to that right now.
Interesting.
And but as far as reading, I'm halfway. I'm reading it very slowly, but I am. Wait, let me go so you can see the whole shot. I'm currently reading this. You've heard of this?
Oh, I think I've heard of that once or twice.
So, this
on my body.
This is the adaptation of the TV series and movie. So, they made a TV series and then they wrote a book based on the TV series. So
it's a prequel, right? It's the series.
Yeah, it's a prequel to the series.
Right.
And another.
Oh yes, of course.
Winner
of course.
Alert.
That's too.
Let's not be ridiculous.
So,
let's not be ridiculous.
I don't have that book.
Yes.
When did that come out? What year did that come out?
2015.
Oh
yeah,
wow!
Something like that. Yeah.
Are you still holding it, PT?
Well, they haven't got me back on the shot yet. You have to endorse.
Oh wait, wait, wait. Hey, where's your Jose?
Where's your copy? I thought you were an MMA reporter. Jeez. What the hell?
I teach.
Disappointing. And yeah. I would also recommend, because we didn't get a question, go online and order a puzzle. So this is a fun puzzle. So this is a 1,000-piece puzzle. I've already completed it, but it's a...
it's beautiful.
Look at that.
This is
a giant, for those of you just listening.
So this is regular, this is real size. Yeah, this is, I'm actually a very tiny person. This is just a regular size burger.
A 1,000-piece puzzle on a double cheeseburger with the biggest slices of tomato I've ever seen in my life.
Beautiful.
For my, go ahead, what do we got?
And so in the back, labeled, you know.
Ode to a burger, that's what that puzzle is
called. Yeah, so.
Beautiful.
Do we have time?
Are we moving on to box sets next? Because I'm ready to go with that as well.
We have 6 months of content to fill. So about month four, we'll do a puppet play of Ode to a Burger. So sure, it's a poem on the back. So
gorgeous.
So yeah, that's, puzzles, want to learn, Watchmen, and Against the Grain. That's my answer for
all the essentials. All the essentials.
For my book recommendations, I'm turning around. What do we have? Berlin by Jason Lutz is the greatest comic book I've ever read in my entire life.
What is it?
Berlin by Jason Lutz. It's post World War I Berlin, Germany. It took him 22 years to write and draw. Duncan the Wonder Dog is a close second. These are non-superhero comic books. I highly recommend Akita. I highly recommend the entire Hellboy series. These are ones that are going to take you a long time to read. Hostage is phenomenal if you like reading a book about a guy who's held hostage in Russia for like several months at a time. It's a true story. It's pretty wild. Sculptor is sad. Dykes to Watch Out For by Alison Bechdel is a masterpiece. And of course I can't recommend the entire series of Judge Dredd. Someone asked us a question last week about Judge Dredd and it gets to talk about it. And for those of you tweeting at me, I finally did find volume 7 in the color that I needed. So many people have asked me about, because they see it on my wall now. They go, oh, did you get volume 7? Fucking yeah, I got volume 7. It's right there. So I recommend any of these books behind me, honestly. And I have, like, what you can't see me is I have a massive stack of books I still have to organize to the left of me.
Oh, nice. You haven't found the time yet?
I'm actually, I'm getting two new, my local comic book store closed. They're not only selling everything, they're selling the physical shelves and like display things.
Oh, wow.
So they gave me two bookshelves, like empty bookshelves to put. So I'm going to put those here and I'm going to put all these ones that have no home in my new bookshelves that are coming. So stay tuned, Casey Lydon.
All right. I got a good question coming up. Here it comes. Wait, hold on. Good question coming up. Here we go.
There we go. From Sean Deddy, hashtag the A-side. Would we have seen a sequel to the last Dread movie by now had it not come out at a similar time to The Raid? Excellent question, Sean Deddy. I have a lot of thoughts on this personally. The Dread movie, not Judge Dread, the Judge Dread movie from the most recent one is one of the best comic book adaptations I've ever seen in my entire life. The Judge Dredd movie starring Sylvester Stallone
rules.
Is hot garbage, but I still love it. I love that movie just like I love Demolition Man. It's like in that same like over-the-top Sylvester Stallone crazy 90s action movie. But in terms of the actual comic book adaptation, Dredd is so good, and I don't think it made enough money in the box office considering I bet people still thought about the Sylvester Stallone movie, and I don't think The Raid had anything to do with it. It is a similar story, but The Raid is one of the best martial art like movies I've ever seen. Dredd just didn't make enough money, unfortunately, and my heart is broken about it.
You're telling me Demolition Man isn't a documentary?
It is a documentary. What are you talking about?
No, sorry, I just thought that's what you said. I thought you said a movie. I was like, hang on, it's a documentary. Let's give it its proper title.
That's fair play to you. But yes, unfortunately, didn't make enough money. And my heart weeps every day. I keep seeing people talk. Like every time he does an interview, someone asks him about it. He goes, hey, tell the studios and we'll make it. Unfortunately, not happening.
Yeah, what happened when Dredd came out? Did it just, because it was one of those films like I didn't see till probably a year after it came out, just because I heard so many people talking about it. Like, did it just, was it just mismarketed or what happened? I don't even remember when it came out.
It came out in, for if I'm remembering correctly, it came out in July. So right around like the summer blockbuster time, which I don't think helped it, because July 2012. So a lot of movies kind of pushed it down the ladder, and it just, I think people, you know, like it's a big deal in the UK because it takes place, 2000 AD publishes it, so that's a UK based publishing company. I just don't think they marketed it well enough, and I really do think people had they might have thought it was a sequel to the original Judge Dredd movie, which, for those of you who don't know, Judge Dredd never takes off his helmet. Like, no one knows what his face looks like. And then Sylvester Stallone takes his helmet off in like the first 30 minutes of the movie. So
how brave.
It ruins so the whole movie. So taking these risks. So I just don't think it wasn't marketed enough. It just didn't. And from what I hear, it's kind of a cult following now, like you said, but not enough to make a sequel, I think.
So for the viewers at home and listeners, if you do want to watch Dredd, it is available to watch on most streaming platforms for only $3.99. So Google Play, Amazon Prime, and YouTube, you can watch Dredd tonight for only $3.99, which is a hell of a bargain to watch.
I would pay $50 to watch them with y'all. But I got Carl Urban is the best Dredd. 10 out of 10 Dredd. And there's enough Dredd to last you the entire quarantine, because he still put out Judge Dredd comic books, by the way. But I could talk about Judge Dredd for an entire podcast, but we're not going to do that.
As could I.
I mean, we had a, if PT had a podcast, it would just be about baseball and professional wrestling. We all
that's
know
it.
That.
Yeah, of course.
Well, any other questions we got from our listeners?
All right, let me see what else we got here.
Good man, Sean Denny. Stay safe.
Stay safe, Sean. Thanks for the question last week. That was Andy Stevenson, right? Yeah. I can't remember.
That question was actually from last week. I just saved it because we needed it.
Mm-hmm. Some people think that Sean Denny and Andy Stevenson are, in fact, the same person. Apparently. Right.
You could have told me that. You could have told me that. I'd been like, yep, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's the word in the street.
From RT415, with Daniel Cormier now 41 and been out of action for a while, Do you think if there is a serious delay for Yoshi returns to action that we may have seen the last of him inside the octagon? Hashtag the A-side. So at RT415, excellent question. Casey, you'll start with you. Casey, you're 42?
42,
if I'm not mistaken.
Or youngest-looking 42-year-old in the world.
That's not true. He's the second-youngest person. The youngest-looking 42-year-old is Lyoto Machida.
Yeah.
I know that for sure. So, Casey, I'll start with you. If this delay lasts a long time, is there a chance we might not see fighters like Daniel Cormier make a return after a while?
Absolutely. This sucks. His professional life as a fighter, this delay sucks big time for DC. I always thought, like when DC lost to Stipe, I always said a healthy prime DC, which I'm not even sure when prime DC is, but it's not what we have now. But prime DC, I think, beats Stipe, you know, 9 out of 10 times. But I was waiting for that day that DC would finally get old. And I think that, right. I think he showed up old. Like, say, I thought the same thing for Damian Maia. Like, it's not that when Damian Maia fought Gilbert Burns. It's not like Gilbert Burns is so much better than Maia. I just think at some point, no matter how good Damian Maia is, he just will be old, and you can't run away from that. And I think DC, especially with all that years of wrestling, how it just takes a toll on the back. I still think we'll see him fight one more time, but I don't think it's gonna be. I don't have high hopes basically on that one. And I think the delay is bad news for DC.
PT, same question.
Yeah, see, look,
I don't mess around.
Yes. I think Casey's dead on, like, and I agree with him what he said about Maia. Like, I know it was only a very brief exchange, but when Maia forced Gilbert up against the fence when they fought there recently, I mean, he looked brilliant still. He looked like he was giving, you know, his opponent, Dorino, every bit of trouble that a high-level black belt could be put in. He was giving him his full attention. He still has a skill set. It's just your physical attributes start to let you down. And look, it's a problem in this sport, people knowing when to hang up their gloves, as far as I'm concerned. And maybe we don't get to see Cormier fight again, which is a shame as a fan. But it's sometimes it's not a shame as well. We'll guess. I know he loves fighting. I know it's something that, you know, he tried to put a time scale on once before and it didn't quite work out. So who am I to say if he'll fight again? But it's a real thing. Casey's dead on. It's not a good idea to keep fighting when you don't look like the guy you used to be.
I agree with everything you guys said. I'll play devil's advocate so we don't all just agree with each other. For those of you not watching, I had to put on my Judge Dredd hat to represent. Daniel Cormier at the last at UFC 248 did that USADA scrum, and he said he's finally starting to feel physically healthy, like his back hadn't been in right shape for a long time. So maybe the time off lets his body just heal up in general. Like, he's not allowed to train. He doesn't have to put the wear and tear on it. So I know, as a baseball fan, a lot of these baseball players who are coming back this season are saying they'll actually be able to get to play home opener or opening day because of the delay, so they won't miss a giant chunk of the season. They are missing a chunk of the season because of the coronavirus, but whenever the season starts, they'll actually be able to take the field for day one. So playing devil's advocate, maybe this delay in MMA will allow fighters to get healthy, but I imagine that's not their biggest concern, considering most of them have families at the end of the day.
Not many baseball players get clean bills of health off USADA, though, right?
That's very true. Next question.
All right, so this is going to be our last question. Wait, did we already answer this
one?
We already did this one. Oh, no, wait, I lost it.
Thanks. The Habib going back to Russia question for those of you just listening.
Sorry.
Beep, bop, boop.
Oh, here we are. Sorry. This is the question. Here we go.
UFC 249 location from Lodovic. Where do you think UFC 249 will take place? Also, because of the hype and mystery behind the event, what would be the most fitting location for the fight? Go crazy. We don't have an audience anyway. It can be a desert island, an active volcano, or even New Jersey. Well, New Jersey would be the most dangerous place of all of them at this point in time. Well, even if there was no virus, I'd rather fight inside a volcano than go to the I don't even want to call it the great state of New Jersey. Just New Jersey's a place that I don't want to frequent very often. So, Pizzi, I'll start with you. You have an unlimited budget. You can hold the event anywhere you want. Where are we holding the event?
On a boat, like out of something out of Street Fighter, you know.
Sure.
Like, I don't want it to actually be indoors either. I want the atmosphere to be I want to be able to visualize that, see the ocean in the background. Maybe we're going by some countries. I mean, that seems to be the only way it's going to happen, as far as I'm concerned.
Casey, same question. Unlimited budget. Maybe you'll have a more interesting answer than Pizzi. Where are we holding the event?
Oh, a barge.
Yeah, sure.
Floating barge.
These are realistic. I want something crazy. I want
submarine. Wait. The most anticipated cage fight in UFC history is on a barge, and that's not interesting?
Amazing.
Put it inside something. Make there be a moat. Make there be tigers. Make there be.
It's in the middle of the ocean. There's gonna be sharks and jellyfish and just
jellyfish. He says,
and just and lots of floating trash.
I want this pay per view. I want there to be like crazy matchups, like a jellyfish versus like a tiger. Like, I want crazy stuff in this insane MMA event. And then the main event will be Habib Nurmagomedov and Tony Ferguson inside the Thunderdome from Mad Max. That's still a cage.
So you're saying it's going to be in Australia?
In Australia, in the Thunderdome. Wasn't Tina Turner in that movie too? Like, she can be the MC is still.
I want to know, lads. Like, I mean, Dana White, right? He's a powerful dude. He knows a very, very powerful dude that keeps on popping up on my TV all the time. Like, is he willing to move heaven and earth here to make this happen? Like, I mean, does this? Like, I know. Like, I agree with Casey that the worst is still definitely to come here, and the world is probably going to be a very different place in a matter of weeks. Like, will he still press forward with this, or will it come to the stage where everyone's like, all right, we can't fucking do it now? Like, I mean, that's the part that I'm kind of like, when will it get to the point where he's like, I can't do this You know, if it's just literally his ego pushing this forward, what's going to be the full stop? Like, what is going to stop him from doing this?
I think the only thing that's going to stop him from doing this is an actual government shutdown. Like, the government saying, not, like, if the president of the United States saying not going to happen, that's the only thing I think that will prevent Dana White from doing it. But I don't know if you have any thoughts on the matter, Casey, considering you've interacted with Dana White more than the two of us.
I mean, this whole thing about his ego, dude, like, he didn't know, quote, you know, I don't give a shit about coronavirus. He's already lost three cards from it. You know, like, he's already lost three cards. I mean, just... I mean, I was saying too, he can have it, but under very dangerous, medically extremely unsafe, and just ethically not right, especially with all the medical personnel you need for a cage fight, a full card, and you're taking away resources and energy from things that are way more important. And I work in MMA. Well, that's how I make my living. And I'm just like, this isn't what we. Because my thing is like, let's just nip this in the bud. 3 months, lock everyone in a room. Let's get the virus. The virus only lasts a couple weeks, and then everyone gets tested. We know who has it. We know who doesn't have it. And then after 3 weeks, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, we can go on with our lives like it used to be. I feel like what we're doing now, this is gonna be lasting over a year at this kind of half measure rate. But we got lots of time to talk about this next week.
One final thing. If this was any other fight besides Habib, Tony Ferguson, I don't think he would be doing this. Like he's like you said, he canceled three fight night cards, but a pay-per-view headline by this card, that's I think that plays a factor into this too. If this was just another like UFC Oklahoma City on, what was it, April 19th, April 18th, I think he would probably cancel it. But because of the fight and because it's a pay-per-view in Brooklyn, don't think it's gonna. I don't know if it'll happen, but I think that plays a big factor.
Yeah, I mean, like, no one's. We're not getting questions about like, guys, is Cejudo fighting Aldo? Is Nunes fighting Spencer? What's going on? What's going on, guys? Find out. Ask Dana where UFC 250 second place. It's like that's not happening. Like, it's just this one fight, and for some reason, yeah, just people. I mean, obviously, I know why they want to see this fight, but like, guys.
Yeah, and I think early on, like, you know, when people weren't familiar with the gravity of this situation, you could nearly understand them going, oh, are we going to miss out on Habib and Tony because of this? But, like, a couple of days later, it's like, all right, that is the least of our worries. But you still see people doing it. It's kind of insane, right? Like they can't get a handle on the gravity of the situation, you know?
I agree. We're going to have a lot of time to talk about this because, like Casey said, we're still doing this three times a week. Fortunately, Lima couldn't make it this time, but we're going to wrap up real quickly. I don't think we need promo time because we've talked about – we had enough time. We got so off topic that we talked about Judge Dredd for like 5 minutes. For Jose, that's Pizzi, that's Casey. That's Casey's giant hamburger puzzle. Pizzi's holding up his pyrite. He needs quartz, Pizzi. Quartz is what boosts your immune system.
Shit.
So you're buggered right now.
You're done for.
What about this one?
Nope. That's great. It's a phenomenal crystal. It's not quartz. So somebody get Pizzi some quartz so he doesn't the coronavirus.
Come on, Jessica. God damn it. Leave me out here with no quartz.
But we'll be back Friday. We'll try and get this guest situation figured out. And Alima promised that she would be back on a future card, hopefully Monday, Wednesday, or Friday next week. But for Pizzi, that's Casey. This has been Jose. We're out.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.